Hi, sweet friends. Welcome. I'm so excited to be with you today, even if this is a hard podcast for me to record, but it's one that I feel particularly called to do and to talk about. It is that I have anxiety, and this is what courage looks like amidst the chaos. So, a little bit about me, if you're just new to the podcast. I'm Jessica Stong. I talk about courage, the way it shows up in our everyday lives, that courage isn't just about the external experiences, but our internal experiences as well. So today we're delving into the intertwining worlds of anxiety and courage and how they shape our lives. So you guys, I'm trying out an audio and a video podcast for the first time. And I'm just going to admit it. I look at myself. I look all around the screen. So please forgive me when I don't make eye contact with you because I'm still trying to figure out how to do this after all these years. So I want to start at the very beginning. What is anxiety? Then we're going to get to courage amidst the chaos. Of course, I want to talk about the causes behind anxiety, how we can embrace our emotions, my own personal journey, and then a challenge. So we've got a lot to get to. So I'm just going to quit the chit chat and let's get started. At the very beginning, actually, when we say anxiety, what image does that conjure up in your mind? For some, it's the nervous flutter in the stomach, the butterflies or the worms, as Theo calls it, in one's stomach before a big presentation. For others, it's a weight, a heavy fog that seems endless. Sometimes it's heart palpitations, it's hands that are numb, or you know, like you can't feel your hands or your extremities. I want you to think about what does it look like to have anxiety? Historically, we understand that anxiety wasn't our enemy, and it's not our enemy. It's a tool, an age-old alarm system that has been honed over millennia. And we know this. Our ancestors relied on that sense of alertness, where their primitive brains were always scanning the environment for threats. They needed to know if a predator was nearby and what they could do to protect themselves against said predator, right? Or if a storm was approaching. Anxiety was, in many ways, quite the survival tool. But as we evolved, you think about, so did our stressors. We no longer needed to look for the lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, I couldn't help myself. I always say that. I'm from Kansas, so forgive me. But there isn't the saber-toothed tigers. But we do grapple with other things, looming deadlines, financial woes, social expectations, the ever-present hum of the world around us, the interconnected digital world that's always beeping and calling for us. This ancestral alarm system now often sounds alarms at pretty much not the wrong things, but it becomes often misguided. And I know that's where I have struggled the most. It often sounds without a clear threat in sight. And so the result is this persistent, like overwhelming feeling of unease and like heaviness. Something's on our back. And that's where we find ourselves today. And that's what I really want to address today, trying to navigate a world with an alarm system that might be like beeping too frequently. Sometimes our alarm system will just go off randomly and there's no reason for it. Sometimes, it needs to go off and we're so grateful for it doing that. And I want to be clear that in essence, anxiety is an emotion, fear, a feeling of persistent worry, dread, fear, apprehension. And I want to be clear that we need to feel these things. We need to acknowledge that they're there, and we're going to get to this later, since I know my six things I outlined today, sweet friends. I have six topics I want to get to. So we're gonna get there. But in modern times, this feels like a less helpful tool and more like a persistent shadow that's walking around with us. And so what does courage amidst all this chaos look like? Because often I feel like, who am I to be talking about courage? Who am I? Because I experience generalized anxiety disorder. I say that. I mean, I am diagnosed with that. Welcome. If you are too, it's so good that you're here. I have in the past experienced panic attacks. And then most of you who know my story know that I have really worked through with spiritual direction, with therapy, with coaching, emotion coaching, those aspects of PTSD that were directly related to a violent attack. So I get it. And I don't want anybody to feel shame or even guilt over having this, because I've walked around so long with feelings of guilt because I thought that I can't be talking about courage if I'm feeling these other emotions that I deemed bad, of course. So we know that courage isn't the absence of fear and anxiety, because it's the decision to act in the presence of that, despite that. Despite those emotions. And I live and I try to live courageously each day. I don't every day, but I won't deny it that sometimes anxiety slips through the cracks. Why? Because we're going to get to that. A, I'm wired that way. B, right. So the key is for me to catch myself on the bounce, not letting anxiety hold the reins for too long, recognizing it, feeling it to heal it. Like that for me is the key. But because I'm wired so well for anxiety, I should say, I daily have to catch myself on the bounce. And this really brings me to a vital intersection where anxiety meets courage. It's easy to assume that they are at odds, right? I do. I really have to work with my thoughts and the cognitive distortions around that. But in reality, these live and dance together in our lives so beautifully. You guys know I love Harriet Lerner, who wrote The Dance of Fear, The Dance of Connection. And it's really this dance. And what is courage, if not the act of facing our fears and our anxieties head on? So I'm often asked, can one be anxious and courageous simultaneously? That's a hard word for me to say. And my answer is always, heck yes, right? Or let me say that, a resounding yes. Courage calls us to feel, to do, and every day I strive to embody courage. I strive to feel it in my body, to feel it in my mind, to feel it in my soul. I push past the whispers of doubt that are always there. Despite medication and cognitive behavioral interventions, despite EMDR, and my touch points that I have at home, those anxious thoughts live. But it's a journey, sweet friends. And sometimes anxiety gets the upper hand. And that's when I'm called to deeper courage. That's when we are all called to deeper courage. And here's the silver lining, that each time anxiety creeps in, it presents a real opportunity, an opportunity to be brave, to be courageous, to confront it, to understand it, to feel it, to grow from it. And when I find myself most often resisting the feeling of fear or anxiety, that's hands down. I know that if I could just acknowledge it and feel it, it often passes within like 3 to 30 minutes, right? We know that from our neuroscientist friends. But I often can't, because I'm resisting or distracting or overreacting to it. And so I continue, as I said before, to catch myself on the bounce. It's about resilience, grit, rebounding, and choosing courage, even when it gets tough. And so I think it is imperative. And I want to talk about the causes behind anxiety, because the causes are multifaceted. We all know this. There's biological reasons, there's hormonal reasons, there are cognitive behavioral aspects, there are like generational trauma, there is so much to what anxiety looks like, genetic components. And emotions, as I see them, are directly influenced by our thoughts, yes, but we also, there's so much going on. And so we work with what we have. We work with what comes up. And the grasp on what anxiety is and what it's not, and its dance with courage, I want to talk more and delve deeper into this idea behind the emotion of anxiety, and that so many of us grapple with it. We know that anxiety is meant to be like an evolutionary ally. We know that. And yet I still resist. It feels like an adversary. So the truth is, our experience with anxiety, for so many, it's not the same for me as it is for you. There's not one thing that triggers it. It's a combination of many, many factors. For starters, there are biological aspects, genetic components. Our bodies can sometimes produce an imbalance of chemicals and hormones, and it directly impacts our well-being. Think of it like a car engine. I think I'm seeing this new women's health nurse practitioner who is incredible. If one system is not functioning as it should, the whole system will falter, may falter, not will, that seemed. So I didn't realize the impact of hormones as well. I'm all in on like generational experiences, our thoughts, but think about our environmental factors too, our surroundings, the pressures of modern society, what that looks like to exist in all of this, the weight of expectations. What does that look like for you? I think about how COVID impacted us. I think about my children who were dear and developed or were gifted with my anxious ness and ADHD and so much of it goes hand in hand. I think about living with ADHD and how I can't always fit the part, and my children can't fit the part of a good student or fill in the blank. And so there's often such a gap between how we know we are internally and then what the world is saying that we're doing, that it really impacts us. I did a lot of research on the impact of ADHD and dyslexia on future development of anxiety. And for those of you that might not have learning differences, we live in a world that's more connected than ever. We're constantly comparing, and the pace of change is relentless in all of the things, this constant flux, this, are we safe? What's happening with Russia or China? Or like, is the economy going to be okay? Checking Instagram, it can be a hotbed for anxiety. And I'm very sorry that my dog is going crazy and there's no one downstairs to help, said Annie, who is 10, who still barks at every squirrel, everything. So I'm just going to keep going, because remember, I'm trying to record a video. So let's see how that goes. Actually, I'm going to try to pause it and go get her. I'll be right back. Hi, friends. I'm back. As you know, I rarely re-record. So you're getting the real deal, right? And so I have Annie. She's panting heavily, but we're just going to go with it. So we were talking about environmental factors, like a dog barking 24/7 can really impact that anxiety. And then there's the behavioral, cognitive behavioral component. That was a slip from previous training. And really, this cognitive behavioral component is a domain that I hold really close to my heart. Our thoughts, the narratives that we tell ourselves, have a profound impact on our emotions. And we know that, yes, it's not just our thoughts and our feelings, but like it does impact anxiety. It can be a feedback loop that we have the anxious thought, which then induces a feeling of anxiety leading to more anxious thoughts and so on and so forth. The cycle continues, right? And to address this anxiety, it's important to understand its origins. So if you know that there's a biological or hormonal component, you address that in the best way that you know how. If you know you have a family history of anxiety, you recognize the wiring, the genetic piece to this. So it's not imperative, but it's helpful to understand where that anxiety is coming from, where it's feeding from. And sometimes, like my house alarm example, it just goes off and you don't know why. But often we get the opportunity. I always say that we can look at our lives and this experience of life and of courage as like we're looking at a tree, and we can't just address like the leaves. My favorite is, I'm just going to clean the leaves and all will be well. We can't focus on that. We need to delve into the roots, to the soil, to the water levels, to the environment it's in. And by acknowledging and understanding the multifaceted causes, we're getting to that deep, deep root. And we first like understand and take the first steps into managing it. And I also have to say sometimes, for me, there's a spiritual component as well. Like if I feel disconnected from God, I am often less likely to feel safe that that God is present in my pain, that God is present in my suffering, that God is present for all that happens. And so then I feel this sense of disconnect. I want to say more, but we're not going to go there. But I'm going to do an anxiety and spiritual traditions and spiritual explanations and responses, but not today, because we want to talk about embracing our emotions. We know that embracing our emotions are transformative. When anxiety surfaces, we know what to do. We have our five steps to feeling our feelings, but I want to talk about my personal journey because I'm running out of time, big time here. My journey with anxiety, from generalized anxiety to panic attacks, I didn't know was anxiety for years. My anxiety showed up in the form of stomach aches and getting sick throughout high school. And I thought it was as a response to food I ate or, right, fill in the blank. But it was really anxiety. And we know that you've heard me talk about the presence of serotonin in our guts and what that feels like. That's a real thing. And so I didn't quite understand. And when I learned about anxiety in graduate school, I was like, even in undergrad in brain and behavior and abnormal psych, don't get me started on that term. But I didn't see myself as someone who had anxiety. I saw myself as someone who had sad times or times of overwhelm, times of ADHD untreated because I didn't think it was right for me to take helpers. And I had 20 years of untreated anxiety or ADHD. And so I didn't know, and I judged, and I thought, well, just snap out of it. Like, take deep breaths. I've studied yoga. I know. And then I found myself, I would literally crumple. I have been to the ER because I thought I was having a panic attack. It, coupled with an aura migraine. So like it was a two, but I have been to the ER because of anxiety. I thought I was dying. I couldn't see. So I became anxious. It turns out it was just a migraine, but this is real. I get labeled because I have anxiety, in my diagnosis, in my history, medical history, that I haven't been listened to. It particularly when I was going through my autoimmune crisis, there is a real, need for people to say, I have anxiety and I am not ashamed. And that doesn't make me a bad person, but that does make me anxious. And I experience things differently. I would wake up in the middle of the night and go into my bathroom, and I have tile, like teeny tiny, I don't even know what that, beehive tile, honeycomb tile, that's the word I was looking for, and fall to the ground and like just put my face on the cool tile, like full body on the ground, crying, thinking I was having a heart attack, trying to pray, trying to breathe deeply. I would have apps that would try to like, you're not having a panic attack. I would record myself talking to myself like, this is just a panic attack. You are not dying. Take a deep breath. You are not dying. But I would disbelieve each time. And I still at times will disbelieve that I'm not dying. Anxiety is real. Anxiety is cruel, but it's also so darn helpful. So how do we, fear is so darn helpful. So how do we live with fear and overcome our fears, but also acknowledge what's happening? And I want to say this, that intertwined with anxious moments were acts of sheer courage. I don't know why this is making me so emotional. That there were so many moments that I didn't think I could continue walking through life when I couldn't tell when I was going to have the next panic attack. And I believe that the decision to push through, to confront the discomfort, to keep moving, to be honest about my anxiety is powerful. So that's my personal journey. I mean, there's much more to it. But how do we, you, all of us, harness the courage to feel and address those anxious moments? Because here's the beauty. I believe that there is a multitude of coping mechanisms available, and what works for me will not work for you or might not work for you. And you have to find the one that works for you. And I think that, of course, that cognitive behavioral interventions stand out. We know, we've seen the research. We look at our thought patterns and we get clear about knowing when we're feeling, knowing when we're thinking about our feelings or avoiding our feelings or identifying negative and self-destructive patterns and replacing them, feeling them, and then moving through them to healthier, more conscious, constructive alternatives. By reshaping our thoughts and our emotions, by feeling them, we directly change our experience. I believe that there is solace in therapy, in EMDR, in medication. Medication has played a huge part in my experience of healing. And here's the deal. I thought that I couldn't take medication because I needed to be courageous. It's obscene, isn't it? That I needed to be true to cognitive behavioral therapy interventions and not take medication. It makes me so angry that I spent so many years fighting SSRIs and yet working for people that prescribed SSRIs or that did research on SSRIs, but thinking that I couldn't do that, but fully supporting people that did. So I think my experience really shows that those deep underlying just unconscious biases against people that need medication or that struggle with anxiety, we can inhabit that in ourselves, and what destruction that does to us for so many years, or might do to us, or might do to our children. So medication is an option, therapy, spiritual direction, coaching, emotion coaching. But remember that there is no one size fits all approach. Each person's journey with anxiety is as different or as varied as and unique. And so the best coping mechanism is the one that resonates with you, the one that feels good to you. And I always say, always consult a healthcare professional when considering treatment options. That's my, disclaimer, I think you should. But for those who look forward to our weekly challenge, right? Here it is. Are you ready for this? I want you to do a thought journal. So this is very similar to a brain download, except every time you feel a specific emotion. So we're going to do fear, anxiety, and just really those probably intense bouts, because if you're anything like me, I'd be writing it down all day. Jot down the feeling, where it was in your body. No, I should have thought through this. Jot down the feeling and the thoughts around it. So you can, it's literally a sentence or two. Let me do this. I was on an airplane and I was an intense bout with anxiety because there was turbulence. So I would say, this turbulence is making me anxious. The second sentence would be like, I'm going to die. So it is always for me, I'm going to die, anxiety. Like, like my heart's beating. So I write the feeling, anxiety, and then I write how I feel in my body because it changes. And I want to match that. And then the thoughts I'm having. And sometimes I have like 17 thoughts and I write them all down, but I'm trying to make this super simple for you. So it is the emotion and the thought. That's it. And this exercise serves two purposes. One, awareness. You're starting to become aware of when you're feeling the feelings. You're recognizing your triggers. You're more mindful of when you're feeling those feelings and potentially the thoughts around them. And some of my clients often would be like, I can identify my thoughts, but I can't identify the emotion. I'm like, just when you have an anxious thought, you write that thought down. Versus feeling the emotion. So just know that there are various avenues in, because some of us have been so overwhelmed or flooded with emotions that we shut it all down. That it's like, and I'm done. So I want you to know that there are two ways in, the feeling and then the thought, or the thought and then the feeling. Please, if you want, for added bonus, talk about how you feel it in your body. After this week, I want you to reflect on your findings. Maybe you want to share it with a friend, a therapist, someone that you trust, that's safe. So, and then let me know how it goes. But anyway, the voice of anxiety is the voice that's trying to protect you and keep you safe. So we don't want to get rid of that, but the journey in this is understanding what is impacting our experience and how we live with courage. Journey through anxiety, with anxiety, because of anxiety, and courage is a marathon, not a sprint. I always say that. And I want you to celebrate the smallest victories. If you get 0.1 miles through your marathon, you're going to celebrate, right? You're going to acknowledge all those moments where you were able to feel your feelings, moments of courage, and know that in every step, no matter how small, it's progress. I really mean this. So, in summation, are you ready for this? Anxiety and courage are not mutually exclusive. They can coexist. They should. Fear and courage are best friends. And we can choose courage even while acknowledging our vulnerabilities. So to everyone listening, let courage be your compass, sweet friends, please. As I endeavor to do the same, even while anxiety tries to cloud that path. Thank you for joining me, sweet friends. Stay brave, feel every emotion, and always find your way back to courage. Have a great and courageous week, friends. I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.